Well, now I'm joined once more by Brian Hughes from Shenfield-based solicitors Raina Hughes. Hello and welcome back, Brian.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. Nice to be back.
Now, I think I'm right in saying that your topic today concerns trespass, and likewise, I believe that in law that there are a number of descriptions of just what trespass entails. But for the sake of simplicity, perhaps we should confine ourselves to what are the most likely to encounter on a day-to-day basis. So let's have a simple description of trespass, if that's possible.
Well, one often sees notices attached to trees saying trespassers will be prosecuted. The word prosecuted is full of menace and sounds very threatening. At one time, trespassing on land was a criminal offence, but no more. Now it's a civil offence, so the signs ought to read, private property, keep out, or words to that effect. In the legal sense, trespass is the invasion of the property, the rights, or the person of another without his or her consent, and with the intention, actual or implied, of committing violence, especially to commit the offence of entering into another person's land without permission and causing damage. So I have to emphasise that trespass can indeed sometimes be a criminal offence. Assaulting a person is a trespass to their body and a criminal offence. Also, trespass as a civil offence is not just confined to entry upon another person's land without permission.
So what happens if you trespass on land where there's no sign?
The exhibition of a sign may be of little importance in itself because private property is not public property. So trespass is still trespass, even if no warning notice is exhibited. You should, in any event, always be very careful when you're walking through a field to shut every gate and to avoid trampling overgrown crops.
Now, there must be many occasions when you'll find a footpath leading across a field and there's no sign. So are you, in fact, committing a trespass every time you cross such a field?
That depends on whether or not there's a right of way to the public to use it. Sometimes there's a public footpath sign, in which case, as long as you keep to the footpath, you're not trespassing. On other occasions, the existence of a public right-of-way may not be so obvious. But if a footpath's been open to the public for a period of 20 years without any interruption or interference from the owner of the land, it becomes a public right-of-way for all time, in which case the owner of the land must avoid putting obstructions on or across the route of it, such as a permanent or temporary wall, hedgerows, padlock gates, or barbed wire. To do so is a criminal offence. The highway authority also has the right to demand that the owner of the land removes any such obstruction. If the landowner does not, the highway authority can remove the obstruction and recover the cost of removal from the landowner.
But how would you know whether a path has been open to the public for 20 years without interruption?
Well, that's a very good question. You can't assume that every path across a field, however long it's been, however long it's existed, is a public right of way. A public-spirited owner may, for example, allow the public to use the path. He can do so and at the same time preserve his rights over it by closing it for a single day each year. Any act performed at intervals and clearly designed to show that the owner of the land is not dedicating the footpath to the public is sufficient to bar any subsequent claim by the public to a right of way. But such closures are rare and usually well advertised by an appropriate sign or notice.
And you said that as long as you keep to the public footpath, you're not actually trespassing. But what about land close to the footpath?
Normally, you shouldn't stray off the footpath, but nowadays there's greater freedom to explore stunning landscapes off footpaths, provided they're mapped areas of open countryside, mountain, moor, heath, down, and common land. But there are still restrictions. First of all, to qualify, the land must be uncultivated mountain, moor, heath, down, or common land, which has been officially mapped. This land is shown coloured yellow on Ordnance Survey Explorer maps. If you stray off this land into domestic spaces, farmland or gardens, you're trespassing. Land managers, incidentally, have the right to close off these areas of land for 28 days.
So can the public right of way be closed or diverted?
Yes. For example, it can be closed if it's deemed unnecessary and there's a nearer or better option available. This first has to be agreed by the magistrates' court, to whom objections may be made by members of the public or other interested parties, such as rights of way user groups like the Ramblers Association or utility companies. A landowner may also apply to divert or remove a public highway if, for example, they have planning permission to develop the land. But if they simply want to divert a public footpath, they must be able to show the benefits of moving the path and that the change will not be less convenient or enjoyable to the public.
So what rights do people have in relation to their own land, and what can they do to prevent people trespassing on it?
As I've said, trespass is a civil offence, and landowners have the right to keep people out of their private property. If someone refuses to leave when asked to do so, they can be ejected by using reasonable force. But the problem here is establishing just what constitutes reasonable force. Because trespass onto land is a civil offence, the police have no jurisdiction. But any action involving the use of force could result in the criminal prosecution of the landowner if it involves physical assault, because trespass to the person is a criminal offence. Moreover,
assault and battery, effectively, isn't
it? Yeah. Moreover, even if trespass onto land can be proved, the landowner is only likely to recover nominal damages for suing for trespass, although the trespasser would probably have to meet the landowner's legal costs.
So what happens if the trespasser threatens to continue trespassing on the land by, for example, insisting on using a path or track to gain access to another property?
In that case, it would be necessary to obtain an injunction against them, from which, if they were going to ignore it, that would render them liable to a prison sentence for contempt.
Now, earlier on, you mentioned damage and causing damage.
Yeah.
As I understand it, if you go onto someone else's land without permission and leave when asked to do so without doing any damage, there's not much a landowner can do. But what if a trespasser actually does cause damage?
Well, for example, if somebody walked through a field and left a gate open or trampled over crops and the landowner's cattle or animals strayed out onto the road, they'd be undoubtedly be responsible for any injury to other people or to the cattle that ensued. They would also be liable to compensate the landowner for any damaged growing crops.
And what would happen if the trespasser themselves was injured while on someone else's land?
Well, that's an interesting one. A trespasser would be able to sue should he or they be injured by items left on the property that were designed to injure them. So man traps scattered about the land are out, as is cemented broken glass on the top of walls surrounding land. But there's nothing to prevent the use of CCTV cameras on private property or using anti-burglar paint on your own property.
Well, at least there's something you can do then to protect yourself. Well, Brian, I had no idea this is such a complex issue. But many thanks once again for guiding us through the mire. And hopefully we're going to see you in the new year. And your subject then will be?
Well, I'm thinking, having covered trespassers, it might be a good idea to cover invitees, like the postman, or licensees who come onto your land.
Oh, right. OK. Invitees. That's a good name for a postman. OK. Well, thanks very much indeed for that, Brian. And we look forward to seeing you in the new year. Meantime, I hope you have a great Christmas and a very happy and prosperous new year.
Well, that's very kind of you, Scott. And thank you for inviting me to come on the programme.
It's our pleasure, believe me.